so many people are sick, right? Because they don't have that plasticity. They don't have the flexibility to go, life happens, right? And we have to do something about it. And the story I was about to tell you was when I was in my teens, and I was like 15, 16, maybe 17, just when, oh, it's back, yay. Just when I was planning to go to college, and you know when you're in that stage, and those of you who have kids who have been in that stage, it's like, where should I go? What should I do? I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And my dad sat me down, as dads sometimes do, and he said, I want you to do something big. Big. Be the first astronaut. You know, do something big. Be a doctor. Be a leader. You're not a follower. You're too smart to be a follower. You need to be a leader. And I think those words coming from someone who was born in 1929 were radical, right? That's not what men who were born in the 20s believed about women. But those words have lingered with me. Don't do a girly job, he said. Do a man's job, because those aren't really men's jobs. They're all of our jobs, right? And I cry. Like tears come to my eyes when I remember my dad saying that. He was a big inspiration for me. Unfortunately, we lost him way too young, when he was my age, to a sudden heart attack. And that's part of my passion for being here. Part of my mission for being here is to change the system that failed him. Who's up for changing that system? Yes? Changing that system that failed him and my mother and my sister. So we have a mission. And do we have slides? We all are here because we're committed to a mission. We'll get there when we get there. And what I want to do is I want us all to just sit for a few minutes with what is that purpose? Why are you here? What brought you here? And we're going to give you an opportunity to write. So take out a pen. We have a pen in your bag if you don't have one. A piece of paper, and if you need it, if there's people, we can give you paper at the back of the room if you haven't brought any. And in the back of your brochure, there should be some place to write. And if not, if you guys have some paper, you can just come around and hand out blank paper for those who don't have a notepad or with them. And when I want you to think about, and we're gonna write this down, three things. One is, where are you from? Okay, not just where you're from now, but where are you from? Where are your roots, right? So I live in XYZ town, but I'm really from. My parents came from, I grew up in, right? If it's a different country, if it's a different state, a different city. And I want you to share that. I also want you to get in touch with your purpose for being here. What took you out of the comfort of your own home for a three-day weekend, most of you getting on airplanes and staying in a strange hotel, in a strange bed, meeting strange people who aren't so strange after all, they're just as strange as you. Isn't that nice to be in a room with other people who are just as strange as you? Who likes that idea, right? Who feels like in the world out there that you're strange? People think you're strange. Who thinks that? Yeah? Who's experienced that? Yeah. That's what happens out there, right? Our goal here and our mission here is to make it so that they're the strange ones and we're the norm. Setting a new normal. Who's up for setting a new normal? Yes? Okay. So what brought you out here? What is a purpose? Let me make sure I have that. I don't remember all three things. Yes. Why are you here? Yes. So where are you from? Why are you here? How will you serve others? How will you serve others with whatever it is that you came here to bring? It may be that you're going back into your practice and you're going to share with clients. It may be that you don't have a practice yet, but you're getting ready to embark on that. It may be that you have family members that are dying or sick or ailing in some way and you want to support them. And it may be that you just want it for yourself. What is that? Tune in. There's no right, there's no wrong. So I'm going to give you 1 minute. So if we can get some writing music, I'm going to give you 1 minute to write that down. and then we're going to have an opportunity to meet and mingle. Okay? So 1 minute, if you can just put on music for a minute and turn it off at the end of the minute, that would be awesome. You were up. Yeah. It's just these aren't on. The monitors aren't on, so I just wanted you to know if we can turn the monitors on. These things. Okay. Oh, you have to redo everything, yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, thank you. All right, so somebody's timing because I'm not good at that. Oh, there we go. Uh-oh, what did you do? Six broken ribs, and you're still here. Let's all give a hand to Lynn. Woo! Determined, dedicated. Oh my gosh, thank you. You can't take notes, but you can still share from your heart. So now what we're going to do, something, it's kind of like speed dating. Has anybody ever done speed dating? Probably we're way too old to have experienced speed dating because I think that's a new concept, right? But this is what I'm told. It's going to be like speed dating. You're going to go around, and I want you to meet 10 people. 10 people in 7 minutes. Okay, what does that mean? That means you're going to quickly share your message. I want you to get really good at this. And I want you to get to know each other by what's in here. Okay, so, hi, my name is Lynn. I'm from California. My purpose for being here is I want to be the best practitioner I can for my patients, and I want to take back some new information that's going to save lives. I'm good at talking for other people, and then that's how I want to serve others. So that's it, right? So share that with 10 people, okay, and keep it moving, because life is about movement, right? We have to keep things moving. So keep it moving, meet 10 people, share that message, and they're going to put on music. Have the music stop at about halfway, so because I can check and give them. So about three to 4 minutes of music, stop it, and then I'll know to. Okay, go! Move around the room. Come on. Remember, 10 people. Here you go. I'm a matchmaker. Is that timer for 7 minutes? Seven? If you haven't hit five people already, you're moving too slow. Speed dating, remember? You're not meeting your life partner. Hi. There you go. Okay, you can put the music back on. That's cool. And then just stop the music when it goes down to zero. Okay? Thank you. Oh, yeah, I just saw somebody. Yes!
Hi, I'm Jen.
Jen.
And I met you on the call briefly.
That's right.
Yes.
And what's your purpose?
My purpose why I'm here is continue to learn and grow about nutrition and health. And I want to help change the paradigm from sick care to wellness.
Beautiful. And where are you from?
Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yay! There's Jen. Go grab Jen. You have about 30 seconds left, so see if you can make one more person in that 30 seconds. All right, start making your way back to your seat. Acknowledge the person that you're speaking with and make your way back. All right. Who met some amazing people? Time to take your seats again. Time to make your way back to your seat. I know how fun it is to meet people, and you'll have plenty of time to do that and to get to know people. You did not get. Who did get 10 people in? Who met their life partner? Who got more than five? Okay, some of you, cool. Who only got one and just was so fascinated that you stayed there? Nobody? Okay, good. All right. What? More time. Yeah, two at a time. You took them two at a time. That was a good idea. Creative thinking. And thinking outside the box is what we need in our field, right? We have to be able to think outside the box. We have to be able to problem solve. I get this thing and it doesn't seem like I know what's going on. How do I dig into my resources? And you said, two at a time. There you go. Now next time we can have people meet in groups of three. Good job. So, who met somebody from far, far away? Woohoo, a lot of you. Okay, so what's the furthest away you've met somebody from? Australia. Woohoo, right? Pretty far. Bali. Okay, now, we're going to have a contest here. Like, who came from the furthest? I don't know geography very well. So which is further from Austin, Bali or Australia? Australia? They're your neighbors to the south. Okay, so we have a prize for the people who came from the furthest. Who else? We have three prizes here, and Carolyn's going to come up and give them out. Mexico? Where in Mexico? Okay. North Carolina? UK? Okay, all right, we have our three. We have our three. Come on up here, Brisbane and Bali and just south of London. Come on up. And Carolyn's going to give you a prize. So let's congratulate them, because it's a big deal to cross an ocean or two or three to get here. Three. Three. So tell everybody, here, give me this, where's the mic? Tell everybody your name.
My name is Bobby Aqua. I've been living in Bali for 15 years, where I run a Chinese medicine clinic and a birthing center and other things. And I'm looking for people who want to help me set up a clinic in the Sacred Valley of Peru. So if any of you are interested for Native women in pregnancy, in that case. And I've just been blessed. I mean, awesome. This just happened. I didn't do
awesome.
It.
So, thank you. All right, so you're going to share where you're from and your story. But before we do that, what I'd like to do is acknowledge people. So we can clap or we can blow kisses. Which do you prefer? Blow kisses. All right. Mwah! Yes, Bobby. Okay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ali. And hi to everybody on the live stream, all my friends in the UK there. So I'm a functional medicine doctor, and I'm graduating from the Institute for Nutritional Endocrinology tomorrow.
Yeah! Yay! Woo! What was your big purpose for being here?
Oh, I was going to say that tomorrow. My mission, with her help, is to inspire and empower 100,000 women to take back ownership of their health, their hormones, and their happiness through a deeper understanding of their health and a deeper connection with their soul.
All right, let's throw kisses too. Mwah! Okay.
Hi, I'm Sheridan Jenrick. I'm a naturopath and clinical nutritionist from Australia, and I came over for the week. I made a little bit of a holiday beforehand, but I've been following Dr. Rita Marie, and I met her many, many years ago at a joint venture conference. And I've tried to live with a referral-based business for 6 years now, and it's worked up to this point, but clinical practice can get a little lonely, and I don't want to always do that, so I want to be more into a space of community and teaching, and you've done that very well, so thank you.
All right, yeah. And from all the way from Australia? Mm-hmm. Okay, one, two, three. Mwah!
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Okay, was that fun? Coming from across the oceans, I'm so excited. And I want to give all of you a hand. Who came from the West Coast? Raise your hand. West Coast, okay, that's far. Who came from Mexico? I heard Mexico. Oh, that's right, you're in Mexico. Is Jorge here? He was going to come from Mexico. I don't see him. Maybe he's still on his way. who's from the East Coast? Right. Anybody from Canada? Woohoo. So we have people from far away. Which part of Canada?
Ontario.
Ontario. Cool. So, and who's from Austin? And mid, oh yeah, what did I miss? The east, the west, mid. Who came from somewhere between, other than Austin? And then who came from Austin? So cool. We have a spattering of people that came from all over. And I honor you for coming out and doing this because of that dedication. And you heard their missions, and we all have the missions and whatever your mission is. So what I want to do is just hear from two more. I'm going to hear from two more of you. So raise your hand if you're willing to share where you are and why you want to be here this weekend. Okay. Thank you. You're so sweet, so kind. Okay. So stand up, say your name, where you're from, and what your mission is.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Is this on?
It should be.
Hello. Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Julie Nygren. I'm from the New York City area, Staten Island specifically. I'm looking to transition from a very stressful ESL teacher with the New York City Department of Education into being a health and wellness coach. I myself have recently found out I might be pre-diabetic, so I want to learn more about that.
Awesome.
I want to move on to coach women within like the 40, 60-year-old range who are dealing with the kinds of health issues we confront like that.
Thank
and
you.
How to slow aging and live really well.
Beautiful. Thank you. Sure. Everybody give her a kiss. Mwah. All right. So we are going to move on. Since we started a little late, I will refrain from having everybody in the room share. But that was fun, wasn't it? Okay, so let's. Now, you have copies of all of this, all of these slides. You don't need to have them during the event. You don't need to have printed them out. They're not full of all kinds of stuff, like charts and everything. Those are on the membership page that we gave you access to. There's all kinds of handouts and lab resources, all the stuff. The slides are meant as a visual aid to guide your journey through the event. We are still giving you copies of it, so if there's anything here you like, you will have a copy of it. It's on the membership site. All right? So we're here because, as we said, who said it? Transform a broken healthcare, disease care system, sickness care system into healthcare. Because this is what they do, right? This is what conventional medicine does. It puts people in boxes, right? Person in a box. Then it labels the box with a diagnosis. And once the diagnosis is labeled on the box, that tells us what to do for that person, right? Because they are now a diagnosis. They're the gallbladder in room 3. They're the ruptured spleen in room 4, right? But we are not ruptured spleens. We are not diabetics. We are not arthritics. We are people, 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 and each person is different. And if we just slap on whatever medications and try several things, we know that it doesn't work. We know that it's a symptom suppression thing that's just like taking that battery out of the smoke detector. It's annoying. Who's ever had a smoke detector go off in the middle of the night? Yes? It's pretty annoying. But the last thing you want to do is pull the battery out, right? And just go back to sleep? Not a good idea, right? But that's what our medical system is doing with this painkiller or this antidepressant or whatever. And this is where we end up. This is where my sister ended up. I watched my sister and brother-in-law. I watched them. I was in that room with them. That's not health care. That's sickness care. And what we want to do is empower our people to be well so they don't end up there. And if they do get sick or they do have an accident, thank you, Western medicine, for setting that bone and casting her arm, right? She needs that. We need that. But we need to know when we go and use those very sledgehammer-like approaches and when we need the approaches that turn to balancing. And we're going to be studying this weekend so much because we have this mission. And sometimes we think that mission is impossible, but it's not when we're together, right? When we're together, we can help create this new paradigm of health. I've seen it. I've been in practice for 27 and a half years. I've been officially licensed and in practice. That's a long time, and I've seen a lot, right? A conference like this would have been hard to pull together 27 years ago. But more and more and more people are ready to take this on, ready to convert their conventional medicine practice, like Ali, into a functional medicine practice, rather to take traditional nursing, like Lynn and others in the room, two Lynns, we have a lot of Lynns, two Lynns in the room, traditional nursing training, and then, you know, converted to homeopathy, herbal medicine, functional medicine, right? So we're ready, we see it more and more. And then we have people who are people, right, going, I don't like this system. I want help with this. And they're looking for the kind of help that we can provide. And whether you live in Iowa, like the other Lynn back there, where people are like, what the heck are you talking about? Right? What? They're gonna be the little stragglers, right? And some places are going to be in the leading, and we need to be there, and we need to be properly trained to be able to take care of them, because this mission is totally possible, and we can help people get to the root cause, and we can do that by having a different medicine box. Who's familiar with that little medicine bag, right? I got one in school, right? And I got to put my stethoscope in it, right? The fresh produce didn't work real well because it floundered and didn't, you had to eat it. But that's what's in our medicine box, right? Food as medicine, and herbs, and, you know, traditional Chinese medicine principles and Ayurvedic principles. And all of that stuff can come together in an approach that's comprehensive and personalized for each person. Who wants to be part of that? Yes? Who is already part of that, right? Yes. This is the medicine of the future, as Thomas Edison said, right? The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest the patient in the care of the human frame, in diet and the cause and prevention of disease. The future, guys, is now, and you are those doctors of the future. Whether you're a doctor or not, whether you're a health coach, a nurse practitioner, a PA, a naturopath, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, practitioner, we can change his quote to say the practitioner, the health practitioner of the future, right? And even if you're not a health practitioner, you're just here to take care of yourself. You are your own doctor. And we all need to empower people to be their own doctors. And that is scaring the little bejesus off of the drug companies, isn't it, right? Empowered self-care is what health is really about. And our job is to empower people for taking care of themselves. I always tell people, my job is to put myself out of a job. But because of the numbers of people that need it, that's not gonna happen. But that's your job, really, is so they don't need you anymore, that you're empowering them so they can go forward, and they just come in when they have acute things, or they have things that are confusing or more complex. Who would like to live in a world like that? Who would like to have access to healthcare like that? Who would like to provide healthcare like that? Yes? Raise your hand. Okay. So, there's always a why behind everything. There's a why for each of us, that why we got into this. And when I, back in 2008, I got a phone call from one of my sisters to say that my sister Kathy had just gone to the doctor. She was having some vague symptoms. They went to the doctor. They weren't sure what it was. It might be something serious, and they were going to do some testing. She'd had a very low, very high white count, and some other things that she told me about. And my immediate thought was, oh my God, she has leukemia or lymphoma. So, you know, and I knew right away just by that, by what she said, that that was what it was. Maybe it was an intuition, maybe it was just, you know, my knowledge, you know, doing problem solving. But within seconds of her telling me what the problem was, I had that feeling. And we all waited, and a few days later, got the news. She had lymphoma. She had lymphoma. And my sister, Kathy, was obese, like very obese. Like, she was like 5 foot or 4 foot 11, and she weighed 250 pounds. That's fairly obese, right? But nobody had ever talked to her about it. For years, decades, she had had this digestive stuff. Whenever you'd go to her house, the Tums were on the counter, right? You'd open the refrigerator and the only produce was a wilted old head of lettuce, and you knew that it was just because she made a hamburger or a sandwich one time and she put some lettuce on it and the rest of the head went away. There was no real food in the house. And so, but nobody ever talked to her about that, right? Nobody, no doctor said, Kathy, you're 150 pounds overweight, and you're tired all the time, and your stomach's hurting all the time. There's something wrong that needs to be addressed. And we have to have the courage to be able to talk to people like that, right? To be able to say, you got to change something or something serious could happen. So fast forward, you know, I like to think about, somebody said this and I don't know who said it, but there's moments we'll always remember, right? There's moments we'll always remember, and then there's those we'll never forget. And I'll never forget spending a week, maybe it was 10 days, in her hospital bed. She went in and she had the conventional treatment. Another sister and I tried to convince her. I looked at all the studies. It's like, well, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma has a good prognosis if someone changes their diet. And 10 years later, they're thriving because they changed the habits. And one of my sisters and I tried to convince them, you know, and she went in for conventional, for chemotherapy. It's a success. And they released her 6 weeks later, only to find that a few weeks after that, she started to develop neurological symptoms. They brought her back in, and she got hooked up all like that. She was having trouble breathing. She was on a respirator. I went and spent a week in her room just cleaning out the phlegm and sitting by her side and trying to encourage her and watching the healthcare system in the hospital firsthand, 24/7, I was horrified. It was worse than I thought, worse than I'd been saying to folks. And then that time she went through the chemo and the radiation, and you know, I find out that she had not had a bowel movement in 10 days. And I said to them, and she was like, oh, it hurts. I have so much pain. I'm like, check her out. I said, I just found out she hasn't had a bowel movement in 10 days. Did you guys like, oh, okay, well, we'll take care of that. We'll give her suppositories. And then she's pooping all over the bed, right? They have no idea, right? She's toxic. They're cleaning the room with toxic cleaning supplies. We don't want do you want your loved ones to end that way? So I stayed with her for about, I think it was, you know, it was 8 or 10 days. And I got the news that she was in bad shape and that she may not make it. It was 2 days before my son's 10th birthday. And we were planning a party, and I said to him, should I wait till after your party to go see my sister? And I said, this is the situation. He said, go, Mommy. You have to go. It's just my 10th birthday. I'll have lots of birthdays. Just go. And I'm glad I did, because those were my last moments with her. I got to spend a week with her. And then the changing of the guard, another sister, she lasted that long. Another sister came. And on her watch, she didn't make it. I got the call from another sister that said, this just happened, that just happened. They can try to keep her. She's on, you know, she's been brain dead for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and they're trying to get her back. She just started breathing again. But, like, we have to let her go, right? Yeah, we have to let her go. She was the middle child in the family. She was the fifth child out of nine. Yeah, so that's right in the middle. She was right in the middle. And we lost her. 43. Yeah. So this, you know, I was already in practice, you know, as I went in practice in 1992. I wasn't able to save my parents because they wouldn't listen to anything I said. I knew I could have saved them if they listened to me. And if their doctors told them what I told them, they would probably still be alive today. And if their doctors had done some of the testing we're going to teach you about this weekend, that I'll teach you and Dr. Hopkins will teach you about tomorrow, we could have predicted this before and we could have saved them. So at that point is when I said, okay, enough's enough. I got to do something. I got to take what I've been doing, and I can't just keep doing it for this little small group of people. I need to get it out there. I need to get online. I need to reach more people, and I need to train practitioners. And that's when that was a pivot point for me, where I said, okay, it's enough. Just something. I'm doing a great job, this one-on-one stuff, but I need to do more. And that's not for everybody, but that's the mission I've been called to. And since then, I've had online programs. We've got almost a couple hundred thousand people that we reached with our mailing list, probably more because we've deleted a bunch that, you know, didn't respond anymore. So we're reaching a lot of people, but that's a drop in the bucket, like 200,000 people compared to the billions that need this. That's why I said, I want to get out there and I want to do this. And that's when I started, shortly after that, I started practitioner training courses and, you know, this event was first started in 2013, but I broke my arm then. And I had to have surgery, and I was like, I can't do both. And we pushed it to 2014. So that's the family, that's the last picture of all of us together. There were just two, my parents just had two grandchildren at that point. Now there's 17. All of these have multiplied. All of my siblings, I'm one of nine, I'm the oldest of nine. And that's Kathy, right there. That's Kathy. Yeah, so next to the one in the red, that's Pat, that's Kathy, that's Debbie. Debbie's the last. I'm over. So I look the same, right? That's me over there, that's Scott over there. And this is my big why, right? We all have a big why. Like, why do you do what you do? Some of us have a pivotal story like that. Some of it is your own story and your own health. How I got into health in the first place was through my own health, but how I wanted to make it bigger and how when I got in touch with this mission that the whole system needs to change, not just my interactions need to change. This is the last picture of all of us together that my mom is, my mom is there, and my dad, where's my dad? I can't see this at an angle. Oh, right behind her. Yeah, there's my dad. There's my mom and my dad. Okay, in this picture, they were probably, Scott, you remember when this picture was taken? I don't remember, because these guys are little. That's Francis over here, who actually works for us right now. Francis, if you're on live stream, hi. And she has a kid of her own right now. She's in her 30s, and that's her brother, Mike, and he has a kid of his own, too. So this was a long time ago, but it was the last picture I know of that all of us were together. And it's very special. It's Christmas time at their house. When my mom and dad died 2 years apart, 1991 and then 93, my dad, my mom was 56, my dad was 63 when he died, and they left us, and they left Debbie here, who has Down syndrome. She's the last. She was like 13 when my mom died, 15. So she was an orphan at 15, and she had Down syndrome, so she was... You know, that's not a pretty picture for someone to be left without parents. My mother was so dedicated. And then Kathy became Debbie's guardian. And then Kathy died. So Debbie's lost three parents. And all of this drives me, right? I don't want other families to have that same loss. I don't want to be in the position where, you know, you have to deal with that kind of situation. Your kids have to deal with that situation, right? So that's why I do what I do. And that's why I do what I do. Those are my boys. That's just a few months ago. That's Eric and Kevin. The older one is Eric. The younger one is Kevin. And they're why I do it. When my mom died, this was a month and a half before she died. This was St. Patrick. No, it was 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks before she died. She was the same age as I am in that picture on the left. 56. And I think about that, and the reason I put these side by side, it was just accidentally that I put them side by side, is I think about what my son's life would be like if I had taken her turn, right? It was his first year of college, that's me, you know, at the college campus sending him off, right? And so our decisions, every decision you make about your own health affects not just you, it affects everyone you love. And you never know. You don't know really what's going on unless you're applying some of the things we're going to teach you here. You don't really know what's going on and when you're at risk. Because she had gone out to garden in the morning, and she came back, she had lunch, and then she said, I'm going to take a nap, which she did every day. But nobody thought that was odd that she had this fatigue, and you know, none of the little vague symptoms. But you would have known. You would have known to check her for insulin resistance and for sudden, hidden occult heart disease. So that's why I do what I do. And what's your job? What's your why? Right, so we're going to, through this weekend, take you through a 5-step process for consistent results. So before we do, I really, I'd like you to just take a minute and write down your why. A couple of things I wanted to mention is that as an advanced country, the WHO ranks us as number 27 in healthcare. 27! You would think with all that we do, and we have the highest cost in the world of healthcare, and we rank way down. Canada's actually 30, so you guys aren't much better. So, or a little worse, I mean. And then $9,000 per person is spent in the U.S. for healthcare, and in Switzerland, it's a fraction of that. Switzerland is second at $6,300, and the U.K. is only $2,800. That's those nine-minute visits, Allie. So just take a minute to jot down for me. Jot down for me your why, and we'll talk about this later. I'll tell you what to do with this after. So give them about a minute, and just jot down, what is your why? Like, what is it that drives you? What was that pivot point in your life, or what is it that drives you to keep going? That's what drives me to keep going, right? If it gets hard, and I've only had 3 hours of sleep three nights in a row because I'm preparing for a conference, what keeps me going is that mission. I was ready to give it up, like, screw this. I'm not doing this conference. It's too much work. Then I remember my mission. Right? What is the mission that drives me? It drives me to take care of me, right? That's what drives me, to take care of me, because I want to be around for them. He's 21, Kevin, and Eric's 25, right? They need parents. They're not ready to fly the coop solo. That's what drives me to make every choice matter for me. So what is it that makes every choice matter for you? And how are we doing on time for this whole segment? I know we started 15 minutes. I just want to know where I'm at, so I know how much time I have. We have 10 more minutes? 20. 20 more minutes. Okay, good. I can easily do what I need to do in 20 minutes. Does that get us back on time, or does that have us be 50? Gets us back on time? We can do this. We can do this. Yay. All right. Okay. So I'm just going to ask one person, raise your hand if you want to share your why, and I'm going to choose one person. Raise your hand if you want to share it. And if nobody else says, I will, because you already kind of shared. Anybody else want to share their why? I think I'll go over here, okay? Because Bobby, we heard your why loud and clear, and I love your why. Okay, and stand up. It was you. Stand up and speak into the mic, say your name and your why.
So my name is Dorothy Halterman, and my why is that I want to help myself, my family, my clients, and the world achieve the health that they deserve so they can create the life that they deserve.
Awesome. And I'm going to add, and they can create the peace that the planet deserves. Everybody give Dorothy a kiss, right? Because when people are hurting, they're fighting. You know, I found that myself. I was short-tempered. You know, I got to get some sleep. I got to get this done. I was feeling kind of, you know, not so nice to everybody, right? That's what happens. And that, why do we have so much hate crimes? And why do we have so much discomfort in the world, right? Because people are hurting mentally, emotionally, and physically. So I want to share this 5 steps, okay? And we're going to reiterate these 5 steps that you need throughout the weekend. And these 5 steps are 5 steps that are going to help you so that when the people come in that are complicated and they say they've been to 5 naturopaths and 3 chiropractors and 2 acupuncturists and a partridge in a pear tree, you don't go like this. Yeah. You go like this. Yes, I can help them. Because you haven't missed a step. And what I found when people first started coming to see me with that story, it was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because everybody did. So I just did what I knew to do, and it helped because I went through my process. I was a computer analyst. You know, with computers, you're very logical, and you go step by step. So the 5 steps are assess, connect, plan, remove the obstacles, and reassess. And I will tell you, the one that's missed the most is the reassess. Okay, you're fine. I've been on this adaptogen for my adrenals for 4 years, but I'm still tired. Did you retest? Oh, no. Doctor didn't tell me to come back. He just told me to take these adaptogens. Okay. So the first one is assess, right? And we get these forms usually. Most of us do have people fill out an intake form, and that's how we're initially assessing them. And we get an idea of, you know, they've had this issue or that issue, their main complaints. But this and another piece that mostly people miss is connect. Once you know what's going on for them, you need to connect with them on a heart-to-heart basis, because that's going to be what's going to help you to empower them to take to make difficult changes, right? To be the oddball in their neighborhood that's, you know, drinking wheatgrass or whatever the heck it is that you're giving them to do, right? We need to connect. And it's said that 90% of the therapeutic value of a client-patient doctor, coach relationship is in that connection. And we have to pay attention. We're going to share with you throughout this weekend some tools to help you with that connection. And that connection, whether you're not a practitioner, will also help you to connect and help the people in your family. Some of the skills I now have, I wish I had earlier. Instead of saying, just eat this stuff, it's going to make you better. What are you eating that crap for? That's not the way we empower and motivate people, right? Right? Who's tried that with their family, right? Yes? Don't work. It doesn't work. You have to connect. What do they really want? What are their values? And you help them to empower them. And then planning. And this is where a lot of people miss, too. They'll go, oh, this person has a thyroid issue. And if they're conventional, they give them some Synthroid and send them on their way. And if they're holistic, like a nurse practitioner or a PA or an MD that can prescribe or an ND, oh, here's Armored Thyroid. Here's Nature Thyroid, and they think they've solved the problem. The plan is a whole lifestyle plan, or it's not just an herb. It's not just that same mentality of this for that. It's a plan. And then we got to get the boulders out of the way. And how many of those? And we have to identify them, and we'll talk all through this weekend of ways to identify that with some of our assessments and lab tools and all. And we got to help them get it out of the way, and that's where the connection comes in, because if you're trying to get somebody off of something they're addicted to and they're not happy about it, you really connect with them and help them and motivate them. And then there's the reassess, which most people miss, right? If you look at somebody's eyes, Luis is an optometrist, if you look at somebody's eyes and you say, oh, you got some retinal changes, and you give them some things to do to change their diet, you're not going to say, you're fine now. You don't look in their eyes again, right? You better believe it, right? But we have to redo the labs. Oh, come back in 3 years, you're on thyroid medication. Come back in 6 months, whatever. It takes longer than that. Yeah, or it takes a short period of time when you can tell if it's working. Oh, here's vitamin D, take it. And I look at their vitamin D and it's 20 on their lab. And they go, well, I'm taking vitamin D. My doctor told me to because it was low 2 years ago. I'm like, how much? And did they retest? No. Reevaluation is super important. And it's like a spiral, right? Because we're evaluating, we're connecting, we're planning, we're taking the obstacles out, and then we're reevaluating. But it's not coming back to the same point. They're at a different point. And then it's like, okay, where are they at? Okay, let's redo the plan. Let's redo the, find out what other obstacles are there. And there's so much there. And it's really a continuum, right? In medicine, it's, you're either, can you see that? It's very light. I don't know what happened to the font. That might be what happened to the font. It changed color. So it's disease or they're symptom-free. That's medicine, right? They're symptom-free, then they're fine, right? They don't have headaches anymore. They're fine, right? Because we took something to knock the headache out. But there's more than that. What about balance? You could be symptom-free and be out of balance, right? Your hormones can be out of balance. Your nutrients can be out of balance. Your stress can be out of balance. And then we want to bring them into balance, right? That's where we're bringing them. So it's a different word. It's not used in medicine. And those of you who are not health practitioners or not doctors who are not licensed to say diagnosis and treatment, you say imbalance to balance. Right? I'm going to educate you to take your imbalance to balance. And you can't get in trouble for that, by the way, because those words don't exist in medicine. So you can't get accused of practicing medicine without a license that way. But there's even another step beyond that. We can get people to the point where they feel unstoppable, where they're at peak performance. Right? You can be in balance and you can be healthy and you can live a life. But that next level, which most people don't ever get to, is unstoppable. And that's what I strive for, right? And there's still little things I can tweak in what I do. My sleep is one of them. That's why I wear this ring. It tells me how much I sleep, so it keeps me aware of the problem. And I go, oh my God, I've been on a streak of 7 to 8 hours and now I did 3. I got to get back on track. Whereas before it wasn't, nothing was monitoring it. I didn't have something to look at. So we'll talk about a lot of those tools you can use. This is where we want. Who wants for themselves to be unstoppable? Yes. Who wants for their clients and patients to be unstoppable? Okay, so you're in the right place because we're going to share tools. So the way we get there is through the master control system in the body, which is what? What's the master control of the body? Hormones, right? It controls everything. It controls digestion, brain chemistry, detox, you name it. Hormones control it. There's lots of them. That's just a sampling of them. There's a lot of them, and you don't have to memorize every single one, but you need to be aware of the main ones and how they work and how you can identify when they're out of balance and get them back in balance. But the hormones control everything. There's a list: digestion, absorption, liver detox, mood, metabolic rate, et cetera, blood sugar. But guess what? What it controls the hormones. This is where empowered self-care comes in, right? Everything that we do, every choice that your clients and you make every day control your hormones. So that's good news, right? Hormones control everything. Our daily choices control hormones. Guess who's in control, right? Yes, and when you can educate your clients and when you know how these things work, when you know how these hormones work, and you know how to adjust them and what nutrients and how to personalize it for that person, you're in good shape. So, metabolic disorders, which is the topic of this conference, metabolic disorders come from imbalances in nutrients, a missing vitamin enzyme. It can come from the body not having the right antioxidants. It can come from a genetic disorder where you can't actually process certain things. I mean, it's metabolic disorders, nutritional deficiencies, nutritional excesses, toxic excesses. But guess what? Metabolic disorders lead to all of our top chronic diseases, right? Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's disease, and more. So if we can get a handle on how to balance the metabolism, how to balance the hormones, we can help people stay alive. But more than stay alive, quality of life. I was talking to a doctor who is a neurosurgeon, and he said, you know, I just got tired of postponing death for people. And I loved that concept, postponing death. He says, I realized all I was doing every day was postponing death. I wanted to help people enhance life. And so he jumped ship, and now he does functional medicine and nutrigenomics and all that because he got tired of postponing death. This is what happens. It's a pathway. And this is the signs, the early signs of metabolic imbalance that people ignore. My mother had belly fat, but she had 9 kids, so what the heck? But the rest of her, you know, so the low energy. My mom had to take a nap every afternoon, but so what? She, you know, raised 9 kids, you know? We make excuses for the lack of functioning. She had skin cancers removed. So what? Everybody gets skin cancers on their nose. They're out in the sun too much, right? But the things like hungry after a meal, even after eating a whole meal, and the sweets, and the, you know, all these different things, the low energy, hard to focus, that we think are just normal. These are early signs of metabolic diseases, and they're the tip of the iceberg. And that's where we come in to be able to identify when people are in those imbalance symptoms, right? The ones that aren't considered disease yet, because it's the tip of the iceberg. And another thing, and we'll discuss this throughout the weekend, is hormone imbalance. Hormone resistance. Hormone resistance is a cause of hormone imbalance symptoms when the blood looks good. And how many times have you had a client who's got just thyroid up the wazoo? We know it's thyroid, but the labs are normal. Thyroid resistance, you know? Progesterone resistance, estrogen resistance. The one we hear about the most is what? Insulin resistance. What's the other one we hear about a lot these days? Leptin resistance, right? But we can develop resistance to all of the hormones. And some of the things we're doing therapeutically to try to balance the hormones are actually creating resistance, like giving hormones in high doses, giving hormones that may not be the right ones. Not to say that there aren't times we need to give hormones, but like people on insulin, type 1 diabetics, they're always taking too much. How do we know? Because they're always going into the lows and then eating sugar cubes to get it back up, and then it goes up and they take more. And Annette's going to talk more about that tomorrow. So even if you're taking the hormones, you want to be on the minimal dose that gives you relief without developing resistance. Because we end up with type 1 diabetics that become also type 2, right? Because they're taking so much insulin, they become resistant. Then we end up with type 2 diabetics that end up like type 1s because they wear out their pancreas and they can no longer make it and they're so resistant they have to take insulin. And these are preventable diseases. Type 1 is a little different, but we can get people on the minimum dose of insulin possible. Who would want to save somebody's eyes by getting them on the minimal dose? Who wants to save somebody's heart, their peripheral nerves, their feet from being amputated, right? These are the things that we can do, and we need to understand hormone resistance, insulin resistance being the most important one. This afternoon, we'll go into more details on that. We're going to talk a lot about the personalization of the testing, right? Somebody asked me that last night. Are we going to talk about that? Yes, we're going to talk about that. And but here's the blood sugar spectrum. And we'll go through more of that later. But it starts with hyperinsulin. We make too much because we're eating too much sugar, and then it leads to reactive hypoglycemia. But then it leads to a category that I want you guys to become the experts in, that those of you who have been in our IRSBT class know, is pre-insulin resistance. And we can detect it before it becomes insulin resistance. Insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, and diabetes. But guess what? The metabolic disorders timeline, it starts the same way. Most of these metabolic disorders have as a root insulin resistance, imbalanced blood sugar, too much insulin, too much blood sugar, then not enough, and then resistance. And it all goes there, and then we can end up also not just with diabetes, but with heart disease, with Alzheimer's, with autoimmune, and even cancer. All of these have a similar root. So if you want, and it could be 30 years or more, and we're going to teach you how to detect it. Who wants to learn how to detect these things before they become disease? Yes? So if you want to become competent in handling this, right, understanding how all this works inside, you're going to develop the confidence to be able to go out there and help people. And throughout this weekend, I'm going to try to download my brain to yours. I've been practicing 27 years. I practiced on myself for 5 years before that. So there's a lot in there. But this is what I do, and this is what I do here, and also anybody that's in our programs, our nutritional endocrinology practitioner. Okay. All right, so I want to introduce you, and we'll go more into this later. There's a lot of causes, a lot of it's in the diet. Fasting is one of the approaches we're going to talk about this weekend, intermittent fasting, keto, and food. Food as medicine, how do you balance it? We're going to talk about all this and herbs. We have all this is going to be talked about. But before we do and before we break, we have a few more things. So we may be running a little bit late due to our start late. So we're going to introduce you to some people who are here to support you. I would love to be able to meet with each and every one of you on breaks and answer your personal questions and help you with your practices. But there's this many and there's me. And I need breaks sometimes. I try to not need breaks. But I do need breaks, even if it's just to go to the bathroom. Okay, so I've invited some amazing people here. They're our coaches, they're in our team, and they're going to be available to support you through the weekend. And some of you have gotten little cards with your ID because you filled out a questionnaire beforehand. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you who you're going to meet. So you can actually sit down one-on-one with one of these coaches and just discuss what's going on with you, where you need the most help in your practice. Who'd like to do something like that to get some support one-on-one? Yeah. Okay, so let me introduce you to these guys. So first, I want to tell you about someone who's the newest in our group, and she's a go-getter. She's a millennial, and she just joined us in the nutritional endocrinology program about 6 months ago because she had a dream of being a health coach, but she didn't know what to do. She graduated college in something totally different, did a lot of media and all this stuff, was in a job she hated, was boring, she didn't like doing it, but it paid the bills. And she found out about our program, she found out about us through Laura Fine, who you're going to hear from tomorrow. She was in her program for the working on the connections and the energetics, and she said, I really want to be in this program. And I really want to learn this stuff because I want to be out there being a health coach. And she joined us. And she stood out. She stood out. And I put out an ad for a job that we were trying to fill on the team. And she applied, and I saw her drive, and I saw what this was doing, and we hired her. And now she, from 6 months ago, deciding, should I be in this program or not, now she's leading our group of, we have a group of 40 people, and some of you are in this, that we take on with just amazing care. It's a 40-person group for a year that we coach, and we have coaches that coach, and I coach, and Angelica's leading that up. She's the lead liaison for that program. Plus, she's really supporting the other coaches. So I want you to bring out, and I want Angelica to come to the stage. Angelica, she'll tell you more about herself as the weekend goes on. Come on up here. Come on up here, girl. And she is the person to reach out to and just find her. You'll be able to see her. She's the bubbly one that's running around like that. And she will help you to get hooked up to a coach during this weekend. So you can just actually sit down one-on-one with somebody and get support to where you're at. She has a little questionnaire. If you missed it online, just you can fill it out here. Just it takes like 4 minutes to do. And it's back there. So where do they go to do that?
Back there, the red dress.
With Carolyn. Yes, she'll give you it, and she'll give you a little slip, and we'll be reminding you about your appointments if you already have one. So the other person I want to tell you about is a person from Iowa, whose people up there don't want to know about health, yet she's very dedicated to health. She's very, very much a renegade where she's at. And she came to us, I'm going backwards because she's been with us the longest of anybody in the room, and she joined us about 5 years ago in the nutritional endocrinology program, and she was another one who I said, oh my God, this person is amazing, and we hired her, right? So if you see any patterns here. And she has been supporting the coaches, she has been supporting the clients, and she's been supporting the help desk, and she's been like doing everything for everybody. And now she is just going to be focusing on clients. She has her own practice, and she works with us, and she works with our high-end clients. And I want to introduce you to Lynn DeBoer Johnson. And she is on live stream. So somebody else is on live stream handling that, but she usually supports our people on live stream. So the other person I want you to meet, is Annette here too? Is everybody here? No, Annette's not, so I'll skip her. Okay, is someone who came to us, like people say, I'm too old to start a new career. I'm too old, I'm in my 50s, 60s, 40s, right? So I want you to meet someone who's in her 70s starting a new career, who came to us, and she'll share more of her background, which is a very emotional story, when she speaks this afternoon, I think. But I just want to say that she came to us wanting to change things because of a personal thing that happened to her and a family member that, you know, was heart-wrenching. And she will get her certification tomorrow as well. We have a whole bunch of people who just finished all their requirements and are going to get certified, but she's 72 now? Is she 72? Come on out, Janet. So it's never too late to start a new career, and she is amazing. She's one of our top coaches in the ERC program, which is our year-long coaching program, and hi on live stream. A lot of those folks are out there, so here's Janet. Yay! And I'm so excited to have her on our team.
Thank you.
Thank you. And who's Kimberly? Whoops. So this is someone who came to us just a few years back. She'd been a health coach for like 20-something years and certified in trauma therapy, but she felt like she just didn't have enough in-depth on the science and the endocrinology, and she joined our program a few years back, and she's going to be certified tomorrow too, and now she's come on the team to help us just expand the services that we offer to our coaches in order to help them get more skilled at the actual implementation and the actual coaching of this, because she used to do this for another company. And let me introduce you to Kimberly. And these guys are here to support you. And she's the newest member of our team. And these guys are here to support you all weekend. Annette's not here right now, but she'll be around, and we'll introduce you to her later or tomorrow. And they will be doing these sessions with you to help you to identify where some of your problems lie in your practice, and you know, whether it's on the clinical side, whether it's on, you know, whatever, where you need support and how, you know, if we can support you, we can. If not, we have other resources that we can send you to. So that's our team, and I'm so excited to have you guys here. Thank you.